Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Well, the Baylor Bears for men's basketball got a little bit more K-State-y today. Well, maybe I should say more Manhattan-y, more Junction City-y. There is some ties, though, still to K-State. Baylor men's basketball announcing in the last hour, Gabe Aubrey, Nate Aubrey's brother, is going to be now the Director of Video Operations for the Baylor Bears.
Okay.
And he went to Manhattan High.
Right.
And then you may remember this name, Troy, Steve Henson.
Oh, do I remember the name Steve Henson.
But you don't remember him necessarily as the former head coach at UTSA.
No, I remember him as having a full head of hair and being very good at basketball.
I'm sure I have, but I just don't remember seeing a picture of Steve Henson with hair.
That was
his playing days were before my time.
Wow.
But he's from Junction City.
We're 2 minutes in and Troy feels old. Thanks, Mitch.
Steve Henson is 56.
Yeah. Steve actually played his high school ball at McPherson and then came here because his dad was the coach at McPherson High for years.
Steve Henson is now an assistant
at Baylor.
For Scott Drew at Baylor. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that the Scott Drew, Jerome Tang coaching tree is quickly becoming a circle.
Something like that.
A Manhattan-filled circle, if you will. I love that.
It's not a perfect circle.
No, it just is interesting that it's playing out this way.
It's starting to come back around.
Yeah.
It's like it's like the crescent moon coming back around.
Steve Henson, the all-time leader at K-State in assists.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how about that? I didn't know that.
Who's in the top three?
I have
We'll do a little trivia to begin the game. Next to Steve Henson, who's number two and who's number three?
Wow.
Is there anybody post 2000 out of those two? Because if not, I have no chance.
They're both.
Oh, they both
are. I'm going to put
Marquise. This millennium.
Yeah, Marquise was in one of those two spots.
Marquise Noel, third.
Thank you.
Really?
And he did it in two seasons.
Two seasons, that's insane, actually. That was the first name that came to my head, but I was like, 2 years. I don't know if he's up there like that. Man, he was kind of good, wasn't he?
Yeah, just a bit.
Just kind of.
Don't think too hard about the other one.
Jacob Pullen. Yeah, there we go.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Two guys in the future, I personally believe should have their uniforms up in the rafters of Brandlage Coliseum. Jacob Pullen is an obvious duh.
Yeah, 100%.
Marquise Noel, I'm not sure if everybody's on board. I know still some a little bit hurt of it. You know, he did, you know, have a few too many turnovers once in a while.
Oh, goodness me.
Boy, if you want to rub me the wrong way, give Marquise Noel heat because of a few turnovers.
Well, when you play that type of basketball, that's going to happen. I mean, that's the art of fast break lob city basketball.
You know, I was actually thinking about it because Troy is leaving us, guys, after today. He's going to be gone for 3 weeks. And so I've been trying to come up with some fun ideas while Troy's gone, because obviously it would be very, very limited on personnel. And you know, I've reached out to Marquise Noel to see if he has, you know, if he wants to come. He's very busy right now, and I understand that. But if there's time, we'll hopefully make it happen. I got to wonder, because at one of the press conferences for the NCAA tournament here in Manhattan for women's basketball, kind of gotten this back and forth, and I know I'm in the minority here, but I've said it before that I would argue Marquise Noel had the best individual season in K-State men's basketball history, and obviously the majority would say Michael Beasley, and I totally get that. I think there's an argument, though, for Marquise Noel, and I wonder if he knows that with his points and assists combined, I wonder if he knows the stat of actually how much he contributed to the actual points scored by K-State
the points for
two seasons ago.
The points responsible
the
for?
The points he was responsible for, either from his actual shooting or from his passing. Because it's 48%.
Wow.
That's insane, actually. That is nuts.
That's off the charts.
Right, yeah.
And that's not even usage rate. That's just points responsible. The usage rate's probably even higher than that, I would assume. Just mathematically speaking, but yeah, 48% of your offense from one guy is quite impressive for a single season. That's not a game, not a week, not a series,
not a practice.
That's a season.
Welcome to the game, Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke. We'll take it till 5:30 as the Cats open up a 3-game series at Toyton Family Stadium. It's a must-need series win this weekend. You got to take 2 out of 3. You got to find a way to shut down who is the hottest team right now in Big 12 baseball. The KU Jayhawks Sunflower Showdown starts tonight with first pitch at 6:05. By the way, Aoka Lee will be throwing out the first pitch on Saturday.
There you go. I'd tell you to get out to the ballpark, but it's pretty sold out.
Well, I think it is for the whole series. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's pretty close. I know when the ticket office, when it opens typically, which is an hour before first pitch, they may have some standing room only stuff, but I think the seats are sold out. But still go try to get some standing room only, because this is going to be a really fun environment this weekend. Sounds like the weather should be pretty good. Troy, you may have to back me up, and Owen may have to back me up on that, but I think it's going to be pretty solid. It's
supposed to be solid. There is that chance of rain that kind of filters in and out, but you know, welcome to May and the possibility of thunderstorms.
Yeah, Saturday is supposed to get some rain in the morning, and then Sunday is supposed to be after 4 p.m. So we should miss game time still pretty well, as long as we're not stuck in a high-scoring game in either affair.
Yeah, it'll be 6:05 tonight, 4:05 on Saturday, and then 1:05 on Sunday with KU coming to town. Oh, and Borma on the Hill and Reese Dutton, a righty for KU, the projected starters tonight. Jackson Wentworth for K-State will go Saturday, and then it's TBA for the pitchers on Sunday. Cats enter with a record of 26-18. 10-11 in the Big 12. KU 26-15, and they are 12-9 in the conference. I think at the latest projections, I don't remember seeing KU in the field. K-State still is, but like I said yesterday, I think, you know, if they continue on this trend, they're going to play themselves out of the NCAA tournament. That's why I feel this is a pretty major series. But luckily, K-State has been really solid at home this year. Matt Walters will have the play-by-play all weekend long. Trevor Hurley will be his color guy tonight. Mike Clark Saturday and Sunday, the former head coach of the Cats. Let's see, what else do I have on my list? A lot of stuff to get to in this first segment. We'll have Kellis Robinette. It's been a while since we've checked in with Kellis. It's been since December. So we'll get his thoughts on what's been going on with K-State lately in football and men's basketball. Got a really fun Blindly Ranked 5 coming up at 4:40. After that, I'll bounce, and these guys will take you the rest of the way. We knew this news was coming, and Jay Clifton, linebacker for the Cats, officially made that announcement today that for now his athletic career is going to be put on pause. Don't know for how long, but Jake announced on social media today, the sophomore from Owosso, Oklahoma, that he is going to go serve his mission trip for Latter-day. He's LDS, he's Latter-day Saints, he's a Mormon. And he will be serving, he'll be doing his mission trip. Don't know where he's going. Don't know how long it'll last. Typically, it's a 2-year thing. This is not uncommon for BYU and Utah. Yeah, certainly around here it is. Certainly around here it is. Now,
right.
You know, 17 solo tackles last year. He was going to be the starting middle linebacker, in my opinion, with, gosh, I think he was approaching 20 games in his career, and he played really well in his time last year before a knee injury. I think it was pretty easy to put him in that middle linebacker spot, and then he gets hurt.
Right.
So I wonder if the injury played a little bit into the decision. But to him right now, his religion and his mission trip is more important than sports. So no doubt about it, we wish Jake Clifton all the best. I think it's really fortunate for K-State that recently, may have seen this headline, Alec Marinko, who is going to be with 1 year of eligibility remaining, a linebacker transferring in from New Mexico. The Lobos weren't a great team last year, but he was a team captain. And I've always said these bad teams, their best player has a better home somewhere. That better home for Alec Marinko is K-State. And he had a very solid junior year. And he played through an injury. So he'll probably, I would assume, you know, he'll be groomed, obviously, over the summer. Fall practice will be important. But he's got a pretty big opportunity to probably slide into that middle linebacker spot in the rotation.
And you factor in as well Asa Newsom's return to the lineup as coming off of his injury suffered during the year as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so, it's all a part of the plan because the linebacker last year was so banged up. Three injuries, Daniel Green in the Missouri game. How is he not a, you know, undrafted free agent yet, which is crazy to me. He hasn't been picked up. Austin Moore is going to be your weak side linebacker. Jake Clifton is now out of the picture. Austin Romaine, Bo Palmer also now in the be more in the rotation. Romaine, obviously, as a true freshman last year, does have a lot of experience now because he did take that spot. He was in the rotation, and he was a starter. Actually, Jake Clifton took his spot as a starter, you know, two-thirds of the way into the season, and then he got hurt.
Right.
And Austin Romaine, once again, is your guy. Desmond Purnell is an absolute dog at strong. Newsom, I would imagine, weak side linebacker rotation. You know, you never know. A lot of these guys can play multiple positions, but Austin Moore is going to be your leader out there, and Desmond Purnell is a beast. Middle linebacker starter is a question, but Alec Marinko, I think, will fit in nicely there, at least in there in the rotation. Did you have something, Owen?
No, I love Desmond Purnell. He's a stud. I would agree with you. If there was any guy that jumped off tape while watching K-State football last year defensively, it was him.
I feel better about the defensive situation with Alec Marinko transferring in, and then now I'm blanking on his name. It's going to come to me in a second. Troy, help me out. Oh, I hate it when I do this.
Describe him.
Just decided to come back from Butler. Or he's
Malcolm Alcorn Crowder.
Malcolm Alcorn Crowder. Gosh dang it. Hate it when that happens. Start blanking.
It's the worst.
Malcolm Alcorn Crowder, now going to be available on the defensive line, is pretty big.
That's huge.
Especially with Javon Banks transferring out. He's on his way to UConn. That's pretty big. And of course, we all know about the offense. You know, it's going to be it's going to be pretty star-studded. Good,
fast, pretty fast, I'd say.
Troy, if you had a preseason rank the Big 12 right now,
oh ooh, brother,
on the spot,
where would you put K-State?
If you're asking from my heart,
give me both answers.
Yeah, I want both. Yeah, well, we know the hard answer.
I'm going to be perfectly honest here. The fact that little to no research have I done on the rosters, especially of schools.
Okay, well, maybe I can rattle some stuff off the top of my head for you. Let's see. I'm trying to go like over who would be the favorites, who would be in the mix, because K-State's in the mix.
Sure, absolutely.
I think most of Arizona's playmakers are back from last year. That was a really good year, but they have a new head coach.
Correct.
Let's see here. Oklahoma State, they were in the Big 12 title game last year. Ollie Gordon are both back. Defense,
BYU, I never discount. I always think that they're going to be right there potentially in the mix.
You know, this this is really based off the offense, and this is crazy because a year and a half ago, I thought Neil Brown was cooked.
Yes.
I would consider West Virginia to be up there, and Utah. You got to put them in the equation as well. I think that they will be a top three, top four. Let's give them a little breathing room.
The honest truth is that out of the group of schools that the conference has added over the last couple of years, Utah and BYU to me are going to be the most intriguing because they both play well. And they've both got great coaching.
Yeah. Utah's, I think that team is going to be, they're always just so stout defensively that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Do you think Deion and the boys in Colorado figure it out? Are they going to be in the mix at all? Or?
That's just,
it's so in the air.
Colorado is, and this will be the case until the ball snaps in game one. Colorado is the wild card of the Big 12.
Yeah. I think until the ball snapped in game four, because I'd be through four games last year, we're like, oh, man, this team might be real, and then just nothing afterwards.
But I think Iowa State could also be in that area as well as a pretty solid wild card of just I don't expect them to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right.
But they could be all right. Yeah. You know, they could definitely be a bowl team.
It's almost like the Big 12 is really good or something. Because I think we just rattled
Big
off.
Big 12's all right.
Yeah.
Big 12. Well, the Big 12 should have a solid amount of teams in the preseason top 25.
100%.
I think they absolutely should. At least
five?
I'm thinking at least four. K-State. I think K-State for sure. Utah. Because Cam Ryan, I guess I don't know enough about Utah to make that strong of a guess. I'm basing that off Cam Risen, who was injured all of last year, a quarterback, is going to be back. He's back this year. I think Arizona would be up there, and I think Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State would have to be preseason top 25.
Yeah, a game to watch. Like when Utah's defense is just always so well coached, that it's going to be such a chess match when they match up with anybody. Like, I don't know what their schedule looks like, but them versus Colorado, I think is going to be a really fun game watching their defense go to work on that offense. And then I don't know if they play K-State this year or not, but that also is going to be a very fun matchup.
All right. I did want to also just shout out one more thing. Nice little sidetrack there. That's definitely that's a whole nother show.
Right.
If you want to talk already preseason.
The way too early.
Top 25 preseason, all Big 12.
Can I please have a summer?
No. Basketball season's over. We're wrapping up baseball. It's time to talk about football again.
Dylan Edwards, Big 12 newcomer of the year.
Man.
All right. So the other thing I wanted to shout out is it's nice to see that K-State's recruiting for 2025 has gained a little bit of momentum. A couple of recruits here recently are a couple of three stars. Now three guys committed for 2025. As we got that cat signal earlier today from Taylor Bratt. Weston Polk is a 6'2 safety out of Coppell, Texas. He's a three-star kid. Picked the Cats over Iowa State, Cal, TCU, a number of other schools. Nice little addition there. And then today, and it's K-State's two of their three commits for 2025 are out of the state of Missouri. From the capital of Missouri, Jefferson City, is Will Kimna. He's a three-star kid, the 35th best offensive tackle in the recruiting class, and he's got the Cats over, let's see here, looks like he's got some offers, Nebraska, Duke, Cincinnati, number of jabrones out there. He was a Cat for a while. Actually, I think he visited at the same time as Weston Polk. So the other commit for K-State, of course, out of Missouri, he's a St. Louis kid, Dylan Duff, at quarterback, is right now your 2025 class. A quick break. When we come back, first time in a while, we'll be joined by Kellis Robinette, Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle, after these words.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ain't no stopping me, no. You can't rob with me. No stopping. You can't rob with me.
working? Hello? Oh, there we go. We're working now. I thought we were having some malfunctions over here. I was about to have to call Paul.
And it's just me.
He's hitting about every button that he can right now.
Yeah, and, yeah. I am. Mixing
all right,
it up.
Wrestling History Friday, we're getting some Shelton Benjamin.
We're getting some Shelton Benjamin music. Because yesterday, in 2005, Shelton Benjamin, I'm sure you saw it on Twitter yesterday, Shelton Benjamin took on Shawn Michaels in what is considered one of the greatest matches in Raw history, where the infamous springboard sweet chin music took place.
When you throw all those words together, it's a hilarious sentence.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
But it is a phenomenal highlight.
It's a great spot, and will probably be on a lot of intro tapes for WWE for a lot of years to come.
Who was the first overall pick in the WWE draft back in 2005?
I have no clue.
That was an AJ test. He could rattle off any first overall draft pick in any draft of history.
You should test him with the WWE one.
It was John Cena, by the way. I think. I don't know.
That would have been my guess. Either him or like Triple H.
Well, let's stay with the computer because joining us via the meet is Kellis Robinette. It's been a while since we've checked in with Kellis. He's from the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle. Kellis, did I see recently you took a family trip somewhere?
I did. I was out of the country all last week. An interesting chance to unplug and spend some time in warm weather. Good times.
Well, welcome back to the – well, today is pretty warm weather. So where'd you end up going?
I went on a cruise with my entire family. First time I'd ever been on a boat like that. We went to a few stops down south, hit up Honduras, and then Cozumel. One other spot in Mexico, I forget the name, but kind of just a port town that was invented by Royal Caribbean, I think.
Did you go all-inclusive, and did you overall enjoy the cruise ship experience?
All-inclusive in food, yes. I ate way too much while I was on that thing. I did enjoy the experience, but I will say 7 days on a boat was a bit much. If I could do it again, I would cut it to about five.
I would like to do a cruise, but I don't know how long and for and where I want to go quite yet. So I appreciate that feedback, Kellis. You know, and speaking of traveling, have you ever been to Ireland?
I've not been to Ireland. I am looking forward to going in 2025. By all accounts, it's a fun place to be. The closest I've come is England, but I haven't been back there since I was a little kid, so... It'll be fun. Looks great. Something I'm definitely looking forward to.
Yeah. So is dark beers mixed with accents and football the perfect trip for you?
I mean, it does sound pretty good. The one thing I'm a little wary on is I have a friend, one of my best friends actually, for whatever reason, gets sent to Dublin every few months for work. It's a pretty cool assignment, but I asked him for some tips over there. He said the food everywhere in Ireland is terrible. Everywhere. Didn't like hearing that, but he said the beer does taste better. So
see,
I guess we'll have to trade there.
Yeah, that's another thing I've received mixed information on, like good or bad, depending on what you get. I hear the bacon in Ireland is phenomenal.
Okay. I like bacon. I'm a bacon guy.
Yeah, you went, Yeah, you went all-inclusive with the food on the cruise. You probably just have to switch it and go all-inclusive with the beverages when you're in Ireland and just keep the food at the hotel room. That's what I would suggest.
I think that's what they've been doing for a few thousand years in Ireland already, so that seems like a great plan.
Well, I've heard in some of those soccer stadiums in Europe that there are press boxes that will serve alcohol. So
That's sick.
That'll be one to look into, I suppose, there, Kellis. So we're all I can speak for us, I guess. We're all looking forward to the trip to Ireland, but that's not this season. That's next year. Let's kind of take a look at this upcoming season because we just had our spring football wrapped up a couple of weekends ago. We had the press conference with Chris Kleiman and Avery Johnson, among others. But to you right now, what is for you the biggest question about K-State football after spring ball has wrapped up?
You know, you could go a couple different ways with that. I would probably, you'd probably have to start somewhere on defense, right? I mean, the offense overall just looks good. If there's a question mark on offense, it's the offensive line just because they do lose so much talent. And Cooper Beebe, KT Leviston, Christian Duffy, Hayden Gillum, four guys are going to get a shot at the NFL here. next season. So that's a lot of dudes to lose on the line. But the good news is they're going to be blocking for Avery Johnson, DJ Giddens, and Dylan Edwards. So how much blocking do they really need, right? So if you turn turn to the other side on defense, I guess I just got some question marks because so many guys were injured or out in the spring. I don't know what kind of progression they've made over there. It was cool to see some backups get in and show some flashes, but they're not the guys who are going to be primarily playing every Saturday. So I suppose there's some questions in the middle of the defense at linebacker and maybe in the back end, but the D-line does look really good. I guess that's the beauty of Kansas State football right now. There's just not a ton of questions, and there's probably a reason why they're with Utah as the co-favorites in the Big 12 next season.
You know, I suppose what you mentioned, Dylan Edwards, that's as good as it's really going to get maybe this year for recruiting, unless K-State were to somehow like pull off a big one and or a big swerve and get that Andrew Babalola kid, who's a 5-star out of Overland Park, Blue Valley Northwest, as I believe where he goes to high school, is an offensive tackle. Dylan Edwards plus K-State, what does that do for your optimism for the offense?
I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt anything to add a real game breaker like him. I mean, the only reason I would pump the brakes a little bit is just because Kansas State was already pretty well set at running back with DJ Giddens in there. Just look at what he did last season. Over 1,200 yards rushing, over 300 yards receiving, tons of touchdowns. I know Avery was great in the bowl game, but I voted for DJ Giddens as MVP of that game. I thought that's how good he was. You know, if he stays healthy, do you really need another running back? I don't know. But if you're going to add somebody else in there, it's great to have an extra person like Dylan Edwards in there. And if you go back historically, even back to his North Dakota State days, Chris Klieman clearly loves to run the ball. He likes to spread carries around, not just to one running back, but two, three. And to have another guy in there who really complements Giddens, who you can throw to in the passing game and can make plays outside the tackles – It's a good boost. I mean, I think especially when you think of Edwards, Giddens, and Johnson all playing together, there's really no way a play is ever going to be dead unless an offensive lineman just completely blows a block and they sack Avery immediately. There's always going to be somebody to throw to. Somebody can run around and make something happen. I think that's what I'm most looking forward to about next season is just that it's kind of going to be like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in the NFL when even when a play is going haywire, you know they can still make something out of it. And when you've got some outlet valves like Giddens, Edwards, Oakley, all over there to throw to, there's a lot of exciting things that could happen even when plays aren't going optimal.
So let's rewind that then a little – or not rewind, but go back a little bit further in history because, you know, when Dylan Edwards entered the transfer portal – you know, K-State was already – they had a visit set up with the leading rusher from Utah State, and he ends up at Mississippi State. That's, of course, after Dylan Edwards comes to K-State after, you know, really short time in the portal. It happened all pretty quickly. But behind DJ, you got a number of freshmen or a redshirt freshman, Joe Jackson, Devon Rice. Did you feel like K-State needed to go to the portal to go find another running back, or were you okay with the depth that they had?
I mean – not necessarily. From what I've heard from the coaches, they really liked the guys you just named. They actually liked LeJames White, a transfer from Air Force, quite a bit. They thought he showed some leadership and some skill here this spring. I won't be surprised if he gets some looks this season behind both Edwards and Giddens. So I think there was more talent there than people perceived. But at the same time, just like I mentioned, every year that they've had every year that they've played under Klieman, it's never just been one guy. Even when it was Deuce Vaughn, they still found a way to give DJ Giddens the ball enough for him to get like 600 yards on the ground 2 years ago when he's a freshman. So they run the ball so much, and they've got a former offensive line coach now calling plays for them. They're going to want to run it even more. Adding a high-caliber guy to complement Giddens, I think, is a good choice.
Kelce Robinette from the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle joins us here for a few more moments. Do want to touch on basketball just a little bit here. Arthur Kaluma, you know, announced a couple of days ago that he's going to enter the transfer portal while he's still in the NBA draft process. To me, that was a big curveball. Before that was said, like the whole portal came up with Kaluma, even though this is the second time for Arthur in the NBA draft process. Did you feel all right about him coming back?
You know, I've never expected him back for whatever reason. I don't have a great explanation as to why, but just reading his body language, talking to some coaches, talking to some people who knew Kaluma, it just kind of seemed like things didn't work out perfectly for him last season. And unless they were willing to offer him his maximum NIL value, I never saw him coming back. So it didn't really surprise me that he entered the transfer portal. I think he's probably looking at the NBA first. I think that's where he'd like to go, even if it's just G League. I think he'd probably rather do that than return to college for another season. So it didn't really shock me that he's looking elsewhere. And honestly, if you look at what he did last year, yeah, he was a good player for Kansas State, but outside of the two times he played BYU, he really wasn't a game breaker for him. So I think it actually opens up some interesting possibilities for them to add somebody else here late who could maybe be a bigger contributor.
Yeah, guys like Day-Day Ames, RJ Jones, some surprises that end up departing after guys have committed. But for the guys that have visited and have not committed, is there still quite a bit of work to do for this staff putting together this upcoming team for the next basketball season? For the guys that have visited but have not committed anywhere, is there a guy that you want the most to come to K-State?
Well, if they could get anybody, the big from Rutgers, Clifford Omarua, I'm probably butchering his last name.
I believe it's Amori.
Okay, Amori, yeah. He would be, if they could get him, I think that would be a really nice addition. He would bring them some a veteran presence in the front court and really complement Bay Fall, who they just got from Arkansas. I think that would be a great addition for him. But there's, you know, plenty of other guys out there. Khalif Battle, Arkansas transfer, he's a wing who could come in and really help them. So those are the two guys at the top of my list, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a big name either. You know, everybody talks about how great Keontae Johnson was when they got him late. And, I mean, he absolutely was the key alongside Marquise Noel to the run of the Elite Eight, but people forget, like, Desi Sills came in and was completely under the radar. Nobody knew who some of their other incoming guys were. Like Naquan Tomlin at the time, he turned out to be a really good player for that one season. So there's still plenty of rocks they can unturn. I think probably the biggest place they can make an impact is late in the cycle after some guys go through the NBA draft process, decide to come back to school. Then maybe you can get somebody like I just mentioned with Johnson. That's what happened with him. But I will say, even though they only have eight players, they've got the makings of a pretty decent mm-hmm. roster. Bart Torvik does a really nice job. He's a college basketball statistician, similar to Ken Pom. He's already got projections out for next season with the rosters that everybody's made through transfers so far. And even with just eight scholarship players, Kansas State currently is at 65 nationally, which it would actually be a little bit better than where they finished last season. So if Jerome Tang can go out and add even just like one more impact guy and then some depth pieces, I think they'll be in an okay position. The only scary thing about them right now is that the rest of the Big 12 isn't joking around. Kansas brought everybody back. Iowa State brought everybody back. Houston, other than Jamal Shedd, brought everybody back. It's not going to be an easy league. So they need to take the remaining scholarship spots they have seriously and add some talent.
All right, Kellis, to wrap up, will you be betting on the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I would love to, but I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's one item you can't bet on here in Kansas. I think you have to be in Kentucky.
Honestly have no idea. So
nope, that is correct.
Okay, well, my bad. Oh, never mind. Kellis, well, so with football and basketball, well, for college at least, done, is there anything you do bet on outside of those sports?
I mean, football is my big thing. For whatever reason, last year, NFL seemed to be the only thing I had any success on. So that's where I put most of my effort. But yeah, I dabble with college football, college basketball. I tried a little bit with the NBA, but haven't had much luck. So this is kind of my decompressing period right now. I don't have anything I'm betting on at the moment. But you know, maybe that'll change. Actually, the one bet I have right now is when the Royals started to show some life, I bet on them to win the AL Central, so I'm kind of hoping they can pull that off for me.
All right, Kellis, good to catch up with you here on the show. Really appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you for your time.
Anytime, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too, sir. Kelis Robinette, Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle. We'll take a break, and when we come back, it's Friday, right? So let's play a little Blindly Rank 5. It's been inspired by a recent transfer. That's coming up next. We're back on the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke. It's time to put Troy once again back in the hot seat as we play Blindly Rank 5, as it have been lately our Friday tradition. Totally stole this idea, and I like playing it. As once again, all hosts, Blindly Rank 5, I'll give Troy a category, and then one at a time, I'll give him things to rank out of that category, but he doesn't know what comes next as we rank 1 through 5. So this was inspired by General Booty. General Booty, quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners for 2 years, but he rode the pine. He never saw daylight.
With his specially designed booty underwear, by the way.
Did not know that. Hey, come on. Too much.
Paul was disappointed.
Former Minnesota Viking, I believe, if I remember right. Maybe I'm thinking of a different there's no way there's two quarterbacks from OU.
Well, we're talking about a college.
Yeah, General Booty is still at OU,
He's still at OU right now?
He's transferring out.
There was a quarterback way back in the day. I'm pretty sure he went – never mind. I'll look it up. I'll figure it out.
Owen is a mess right now. I don't know what to do with him.
It's Friday.
But honestly, who wanted underwear that said booty right across the booty? Except for Paul.
It's NIL season, man.
Troy, I thought that might be right up your alley.
No, thank you.
I guess I don't know you. So, all right, we're going to
juicy.
We're going to blindly rank 5 funny athlete names.
Okay.
And let me tell you, there are a lot out there.
Yeah.
A lot. We could do this every Friday for a year and have plenty of content.
I think it was a harder game probably to you to narrow it down to 5, truthfully.
It was. I spent probably an hour on this. Okay, so your first...
Wrong game, sorry.
Your first funny athlete name is Napoleon Outlaw III. Napoleon Outlaw III played soccer and ran track at Oakland University. His dad, Napoleon Outlaw Jr., played football at Michigan State. His grandfather, Napoleon Outlaw Sr., played football at Cincinnati. Where are you going to put Napoleon Outlaw?
4. Because you can do much better than that.
You think there's some better on this list?
I think so, yeah.
All right, let's go to our second name. Your second name is Wonderful Terrific Mons Jr.
Now see, there's a name I recall. Yes.
Do you remember where he played?
That I do not.
He was a former defensive back at Nebraska.
Oh, that's right.
And was named first team All-American in 1975. Went on to play a real short time in the NFL.
Yeah.
Did win a Grey Cup with the Ottawa Rough Riders. His birth name is Wonderful Terrific Mons Jr.
The wonderful part of that is that at least his last name was still short enough that it made for an easy call on radio. 3.
All right, Wonderful going at 3.
I'm still hoping. I've got one tagged here in my head that I'm hoping he hits me with.
Napoleon Outlaw at 4, Wonderful Terrific Mons Jr. at 3. You have 1, 2, and 5 left open. Your third name, as we're ranking funny athlete names, Pig Cage. Pig Cage played football at UTSA this past season, and he will play for the Roadrunners this upcoming year, at least for now.
I'm going to go with 2 for Pig Cage.
I like that.
Cage sounds like it's a nickname for like a group of linemen or something.
Yeah, I agree. It reminds me of the old video of them bringing linemen out for state title games, and they're rattling the horse trailers. They're backing them onto the track.
It's a scientific name for a group of offensive linemen, Pig Cage.
Pig Cage.
There you go.
I probably offended some people.
I like
Sorry.
That.
All right, so we have Pig Cage at 2, Wonderful Terrific Mons at 3, Napoleon Outlaw at 4. So this next name, I had to throw one in there to test how mature we are.
Fake. Oh, sorry.
We got to see how mature Troy is here. Your next name is Dick Trickle.
Good old NASCAR name. Got to love that one.
For 17 years.
For years was mocked on SportsCenter. Yeah. By the man who precedes us on the air, specifically Dan Patrick. That I am going to put at number one. Just because that's
Dick
veteran.
Trickle at number one, huh? Yeah.
I tried to keep a straight face. I cleared myself. The second you said it, I started laughing.
I mean, come on. When you get to this certain age and, well, we all understand Dick Trickle.
See, his time was way before my. I'm not a NASCAR fan. I do not pay attention to it. I'd never heard of his name until today.
It was a running gag between Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann on SportsCenter for years.
All right, so we're down to one funny name, and you only have number five left open with Dick Trickle at one, Pig Cage at two, Wonderful Terrific Mons Jr. at three, and Napoleon Outlaw at four. Troy, your last name, which will end up at being at number five, is Credence Clearwater Quoto.
Really?
Credence Clearwater Quoto. He was a Brazilian soccer player. He was a striker.
Whose parents apparently were John Cafferty fans.
John Fogarty.
Sorry. You're right.
Both of those went over my head.
Played some pro ball in the mid-2000s. Yeah, his parents, yes, were big CCR fans.
Apparently.
So they decided to name his son, their son, after the band. But Credence Clearwater Quoto will be at number five.
I am very disappointed you did not hit me with World Be Free.
Well, stay tuned to next week's episode.
Wait till next Friday.
I'm not here.
I'll play that game.
So once again, Troy's names, as we need to get out of here, is at one, Dick Trickle, two, Pig Cage, three, Wonderful, Terrific, Mons Jr., four is Napoleon Outlaw, five, Credence Clearwater Quoto. That's going to wrap it up for hour one. Hour two is coming up next, a short hour two. I'm out. Cats baseball coming up at 5:30. Go Cats.
K-State baseball coming up bottom of the hour as the Cats match up with the Kansas Jayhawks tonight. Game one of three for the Sunflower Showdown series. Matt will have the call beginning at 5:30. First pitch just after 6 o'clock on News Radio KMAN. Troy Coverdale, Owen Burke with you for the final half hour on a Friday afternoon. I could just sit here and go. Rock my head back and forth.
I've legitimately been doing that for about 45 seconds.
So. The problem is it's not good radio.
That's true. No, it's not. Yeah, it gets kind of boring after a while for the listener, doesn't it?
Did you see the mess that Patrick Beverley is involved with after last night's ball game between the Bucks and Pacers?
Are you talking about the whole throwing the ball at the fan thing or the thing with the reporter?
That would be both.
Yeah.
That comprised the mess.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Not surprising, truthfully.
The throw of the ball at the fan is an all-time jerk move right there. That one is above and beyond.
Do we know what the fan said?
No.
I haven't heard anything
about it. No, we don't. And part of why we don't know what the fan said is because Patrick Beverley is not going to open his mouth about it to anybody. Other than to go on the artist formerly known as Twitter... Worldwide Wob, Rob Perez, who know on Twitter, posted the video. And Beverly sent it out as a quote tweet. Not fair at all. Exchanged between a fan and our ball club all night. We warned and asked for help all night. Not fair.
So that I'm still like... You're a professional basketball player. You have to know better than that.
That and he just really threw that in. I mean, that was a wing.
Yeah, it was. It was not a toss. It was a throw. It was a rocket.
Here's the part of it that doesn't hold up on his claim. His coach didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's not good.
Let me get you Doc Rivers' quote.
The stuff with the reporter afterwards was, it wasn't worse, but it was weirder to me, for sure.
So we talked about that, and then the ball-throwing incident. Mm-hmm. And he made the comment to me about what was being said back his way, and I just said, I get it. But we're coaches and athletes. We're the entertainers or whatever we are. Sometimes they can be in the wrong, but you just can't do those certain things.
You can't retaliate at all.
Here's the point. Doc Rivers is essentially saying, I didn't know what was being said.
Yeah. If we threw a basketball at a fan every time they were chirping at somebody, we would have no basketballs left to play with in cities like Utah and sometimes in Boston. Every basketball would be tossed into the stands by the time the first quarter ended.
This may be a little old for you, but there used to be a heckler for the Washington Wizards, Bullets at the time, that was an all-timer to the point that he and Mike got into it, even. Robin Ficker.
Mike.
As in Mike Jordan.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha,
and Charles Barkley.
Okay.
And because he was creative. He was creative with it.
Mm.
And he was always behind the bench.
Behind the home bench?
Uh-huh. Behind the, no, the visitor's bench.
Okay, behind the visitor's bench, yes.
Okay, so let me point this out. If you visit his Wikipedia page.
That's how you know, firstly, this guy is world class as a heckler.
Part of that is because he was a lawyer and a politician.
Okay, okay.
On top of, yes, an entire section for sports heckler.
That's listed profession. Lawyer slash public slash sports heckler.
And the Wizards were just dumb about him in that they reseated him well away from the opposing team's bench when they moved downtown D.C.
There you go.
How awful.
That's crazy, actually.
Barkley in particular thought so much of him and his ability to get under players' skin that he flew him out to Phoenix during the 93 NBA Finals. Bought the ticket for him right behind the Bulls bench.
That is awesome.
He was thrown out of the game in the first quarter.
Hey, I mean, it's only wasted money because it was so early.
In 2012, he appeared on a show hosted by Jeff Probst, in which he was playfully surprised by Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, goodness.
Probst shared that Thomas, in agreeing to appear on the show, said Ficker was one of the greats. He was also featured by Keith Olbermann, discussing his heckling along with the often acrimonious fan versus player interactions that would result.
You need to put this guy in the NBA Fan Hall of Fame. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. 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 Tremendous.
Where was this guy during the... He probably started Malice at the Palace. That's what kicked off the
No. So he and Mike had some conflicts, had some words back and forth a few times.
I can only imagine.
All in good fun at the end of the day, but he was a classic. That man was a classic. Patrick Beverley would not withstand any ounce of it.
I don't know if anybody could. The players today do not like that. Like Russell Westbrook, multiple times this season, has went after fans that are talking at him.
Russ is, yeah.
I love him, and I wish he'd hang it up. It pains me sometimes to watch him play basketball still.
So you already alluded to then the secondary part of this story, and that is that Beverley then would not address it with the media last night. Not just would not address it with the media last night, he effectively barred a reporter because she does not subscribe to his podcast.
Yeah, I mean...
Turns out, Patrick Beverley is known throughout the league for not exactly being welcoming to the media.
Oh, you don't say.
Number of the tweets that I have seen today in response to this, because he basically stiffed and eventually forced her out of the interview circle altogether.
He doubled down on it.
She is an ESPN employee, a producer for ESPN. Yeah, that's a good look there, Adam Silver.
Yeah, there should be something there. Because, again, the first part of it was like, okay, that's kind of awkward. It's kind of weird. And then double down on it and be like, hey, can you move your microphone out of the circle? Like, I don't want you here.
So a friend of mine who has had spent some time with stints, and you'll see him occasionally on CBS Sportsnet, but he spent some time doing work with the Globetrotters, spent some time with WWE as an announcer. Alex Del Barrio works in the Houston area nowadays. Actually works in the Rio Grande Valley. I shouldn't say Houston area. Rio Grande Valley. But when he has had the opportunity to cover games, the moment that you even mention that you're part of the Houston media in an interview with Patrick Beverly, nose up, mouth shut.
Really? Not a fan of the Houston media.
Not a fan of the Houston media.
Was that just a real rocky first stint there, I guess, maybe?
Apparently.
Huh.
So you're getting the idea. The guy is, well, how shall we put it? Prickly?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. You cut a couple letters off and it still makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll have the entire off season after last night to sit on the sideline and collect his thoughts. Because the Bucks got their butts handed to them.
I made $20 off that game yesterday.
That was a good call on your part.
It was. Well, it wasn't the game. It was a week or so back. My buddy at work's a Bucks fan, and I said, I bet the Pacers knock you out and run one. I'll put 20 on it. Nah, this is before I didn't know Giannis was going to play. That kind of made me feel a lot better about it. But they matched up well with the Bucks, and boy, did it ever show last night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Pacers make the second round of the playoffs for the first time in a decade. That's the part of it that floored me. Made the second round for the first time in a decade. A franchise that had Paul George.
Is that the first time since Paul George, I would assume?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That is crazy. But that team is good. They play so well together. And as a Knicks fan, I'm not looking forward to the second round. Well, I mean, I kind of am and I kind of aren't. You'll see a lot of what that series is going to be in game one.
How about the storylines for the teams that have already been eliminated? Darvin Ham is out after 2 years as the Lakers head coach.
His whole staff is gone. They fired. His entire staff has been released.
There's also a little irony in the fact that Ty Lue is apparently getting a contract extension across town with the Clippers.
Yeah, and that's what everyone's like, whoa, is Ty Lue going to be the Lakers coach? And he's on contract till next year.
Yeah, that would be a big no.
No. Yeah.
No. God, remembering when Ty Lue was in college.
I remember when I didn't think Ty Lue was a good head coach.
Yeah, what a concept, yeah, right?
I was wrong. Yeah. I willfully admit that.
Hey, but you know, credit to Darvin Ham. On his resume, he's able to put won the inaugural play, you know, midseason tournament.
I won the first in-season tournament, and I coached LeBron James. It's probably his two career highlights.
Dude, that list of coached LeBron James keeps growing.
It does. It's going to get a name longer, and it might be a guy younger than him. I think you could do a whole segment on the possibilities of who it's going to be next.
You missed the joking I had yesterday with the fake Hubie Brown account.
Mm.
Because the photo he shared, seriously, I did a double take. It was a photo of Kurt Rambis, nowadays Kurt Rambis.
Oh, I know. I did see this tweet. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he retweeted it. Whoever runs the fake Hubie Brown account retweeted it. Because I did a double take when I saw the photo of Kurt Rambis. I'm like, that's Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I did see that tweet. That was a good one by you. I like that one a lot.
Might have about as much success as Kurt Rambis as the Lakers head coach.
Yeah, he probably would.
Oh, my.
Not a hard thing to do, unfortunately.
Okay, so you've got that storyline, which is just messy. And it's not going to get any better in L.A. with all of the discussion about Bronny.
Yeah, that's going to heat things up quite a bit.
No, just a bit. Joel Embiid can't get his teams past the second round.
Yep.
Oh, wait, that was Doc Rivers' fault. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that was Nick Nurse's. Oh, wait. No. Okay.
It was Ben Simmons' fault. Oh, wait. He has a better playoff win percentage with Ben Simmons than without.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You could just go down the list. When do you finally put it on Embiid? Philadelphia, when do you finally recognize that it's the former Jayhawk that's the problem?
I don't know if I'd say he's the problem.
I would.
You would say he's the problem?
I would.
I think the way that team is built is still not ready to compete. Wasting $35 million on Tobias Harris is a starting point for me. It's just the team has never been super well constructed. I do like – I love Tyrese Maxey. I think he is a stud.
What do you hear every time that we get to the playoffs in the NBA about Joel Embiid?
Injuries.
Bing, bing, yeah, bing, yeah. Bing, bing.
That's the one. Where's the Price is Right dinger when you need it right there?
Injuries, injuries, injuries. It doesn't take care of himself. You know, if people want to wail away on Zion taking care of himself, yeah. Let's talk about Joel Embiid a bit.
Yeah. He is so talented. He is so good at the game of basketball when he plays. Mm-hmm. That is a very large three-letter what-if right there, mm-hmm. or three-word what-if there.
Yeah, yeah. That is a huge part of it right there. The other storyline is what a disaster the Bucks were.
Yeah.
And who would have saw that coming when they made the move to Damian Lillard? And then changed coaches at midseason, which was essentially waving the white flag.
Yeah, it was, and I think... just the sentence of, oh, we're not really sure if this – it was Adrian Griffin, right?
Yes.
We're not really sure if an Adrian Griffin-led Bucks team could get it done in the postseason, so we're going to hire Doc Rivers.
Wichita boy, Adrian Griffin, yeah. No less.
Not a great – never no. should – we're not sure if this guy's going to get it done, so we brought in Doc Rivers. It's not a sentence that should exist.
Yeah. How many titles is that? Oh, one.
Yeah, and speaking of KU guys, Paul Pierce elevates his name in the all-time list because he's the only guy to get Doc Rivers across the finish line.
Oh, you have to. Yeah. God.
That's why I saw people talking about it, and there was a poll. They're like, who's the greatest player of all time? And they just listed like the top five players from NBA players, and you know LeBron and Jordan and Kobe are up there. And then like 0.1%, Paul Pierce was the fifth name on there. And they're like, you know, everybody was laughing about this, but he's the only guy to win a title with Doc Rivers. So maybe there's a case here.
Oh, man.
That's something.
That is something. I'm not sure what it is. On that note, we're going to step aside. We'll wrap it up. Owen will ask me something when we come back on the game.
Are you ready for a little Ask Us Anything here?
Let me just note one thing. A lot of good it's going to do Major League Baseball to wait until next year to take care of their uniform problems.
It doesn't make any sense. We've seen a player's pants literally rip the entire side of his leg open in the first 20 games of the season. And they're like, we'll just wait 300 games and then we'll fix it. It's
brutal.
Baffling.
It's just brutal.
It is baffling to say the least, my friend. My question for you today, as I scramble to find one, What is something that drives you absolutely crazy while you're driving, specifically while you're on the road? What is you see it and you're like, oh, I want to rear-end that guy right now.
No, it's the guy who's rear-ending me.
The guy tailgating you?
The guy that is tailgating me and sitting on my backside.
Yeah.
Like that there's no reason to, you know, give any space.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the tailgaters. I think one of my pet peeves is... people going too slow, especially like in construction zones.
Sure.
It's like, especially on my drive, I'm driving back to JC. They're doing a ton of work on the highway. Speed limit 60. And we get inside those cones and people are like, I'm going to go 45. Why? It is.
Safety first, man. Safety first.
Well, if you needed to go 45 there, they would have set the limit at 45. Come on.
I get you.
I'm with you. But I also, as much as I am that guy, I'm never the tailgater. I promise you that I'm not the guy that you hate running behind in traffic.
By the way, just so it's said, get out of the left lane!
Yeah, oh my, don't even get me started. As a guy who commutes from Junction City every day, another thing that drives me absolutely nuts.
I'm so glad I don't commute.
Yeah, I can't wait till I can stop.
Oh, man. And that's before we even talk I-25 in Colorado.
That's true.
Oh, boy.
I know, I'm sitting here complaining about a commute from JC to Manhattan. There's people that are driving in Denver and bigger cities. Mm-hmm. No.
Cats baseball next. Go Cats, beat those Jayhawks. We'll catch you on the flip on Monday.